This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Today on Keeping the Faith, we have two guests here in our studio, Reverend Tim Bossenbrook, he's the pastor of Hessel Park Christian Reformed Church, and Michael Culbertson, who's a graduate student in the College of Education here at the University of Illinois. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've come to talk to us, among other things, about the Veritas Forum for this current semester here at the University of Illinois that's titled God and I. So let's start with you, Tim. Tell us a little bit of the history of the Veritas Forum. How long have you been bringing these programs to the campus, and what's the main focus this year?
Well, this is our fourth forum. We started about 3 years ago, and the main focus is to create the space in which issues of faith and worldview can be discussed in an open forum and enable people to explore truth, particularly in light of the life of Christ and Christianity.
So this is a Christian group that sponsors the forum, but I noticed the first forum for this spring semester is very much interfaith in terms of the panelists who are there.
Yes, we really want to have an open space where people from all different religious traditions and worldviews can come together to contribute to the discussion and have a civilized conversation about truth.
Tell us when this forum will be and who will be participating in terms of the panel.
It'll be Tuesday night, February 12 at 7:30 in Lincoln Hall. And our four panelists will include Paula Cairns, who is an associate professor in the University Library, and she also has an appointment in the program in Medieval Studies. She's a Catholic. Dr. Irfan Ahmad is in nanoscience, the director of the Center of Nanoscience and Technology, and he's a former president of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center.
So you have one Roman Catholic and one Muslim, and who else?
Nicholas Berbelis is a professor in the Department of Educational Policy. He describes himself as formerly religious, but not so now. So he's agnostic or something along those lines. And then our fourth panelist is Gary Eden, and he's in electrical engineering, and he is an evangelical.
An evangelical Christian.
Yes.
So you have quite a spread there that should be an interesting conversation. I happen to know a couple of those folks on that who will be on that panel, and they're not afraid to express their opinions.
Good.
Michael, tell me, have you taken any courses with Professor Berbelis?
I have, in fact. Several years ago, I took his course. I can't remember the title exactly, but it was about philosophical issues in educational research. And it was a fantastic course. Dr. Berbelis was very thoughtful and very good at provoking deep thought from his students.
Now, you are on the planning committee for this Veritas Forum for this year.
That's correct.
How did you come up with the theme, the title God and I?
Oh, that's an excellent question. That was decided before I came on the committee.
See.
Tim, can you tell us something about that?
Tim will have to tell us. All right.
Well, our past forums, we have always brought in speakers of renown from other places. But we really wanted to feature faculty from the U of I to demonstrate to students and faculty that you can be a person of faith and still be a credible academic and encourage them to think through how their religious faith or their worldview interacts with their academic life and their personal life.
Now, you've been pastor of this campus church, Hessel Park Christian Reformed Church, that has so many students, graduate students, faculty folks in it. For how many years?
I've been there 11 years.
So you've heard a lot of discussion, but mainly about important issues, but mainly among people, I presume, who are people whose faith is similar to yours.
Yes. Yeah.
So why were you willing or interested in getting involved in such a diverse discussion?
Well, I think a number of reasons. First of all, truth is not – Christians don't have a monopoly on the truth. This is God's world, and so people of all faiths live in the same world, and they're open to discover truths in this world just as Christians are. We obviously believe that Scripture provides the best access to truth. But if we are going to live together in this world, it's best to listen to everyone and hear their experience and their understanding of truth. And I think the best way for Christians to enter into the public sphere, if we're going to bring our Christianity into the public sphere, we need to be willing to listen to and learn from people of other faiths.
Well, let me give the two of you an opportunity to listen to some of our listeners, because this is a live call-in show every Sunday night from 5 to 6. And it sounds like we're going to be raising some issues here that other people might have some questions or want to make comments about. And for listeners, it's easy to do that. You may call if you're in the 217 area code 333-9455. That's in the 217 is 333-9455. If it's long distance, then punch in 1-800-222-9455. And you may even be listening on the Internet, of course, and that toll-free number will be good for you as well. So again, 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station. If it's long distance, if it's in the Champaign-Urbana, Illinois listening area, 217, just punch in 333-WILL, 333-9455. And Tim Bossenbrook and Michael Culbertson will be happy to respond to your questions or make comments if you have comments on some of these issues. Michael, let's learn a little bit about your background. I mentioned you were a graduate student in the College of Education. What are you specializing in?
I specialize. That's a difficult question because I try and be a generalist. I've tried to study many different research methods that are applicable to learning about educational contexts. But you do have to do a little bit of specialization in the PhD. And my dissertation is in statistical models for what students know in educational assessments.
And educational assessments are, of course, a very hot topic right now.
They are.
Politically and also in terms of how teachers are evaluated,
mm-hmm.
All those sorts of things. So you have to read a whole lot, and have you finished all your coursework?
I have. I finished that a couple of years ago, and I've been trying to focus in on the dissertation recently. Hope to finish up within the next year.
Very good. And who is your primary professor?
Carolyn Anderson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit about your background, first educationally. Where have you studied before the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign?
Well, I grew up in Texas near Dallas, but then I came up to Illinois for my undergraduate work at Wheaton College near Chicago. Spent 4 years there. And then after a brief hiatus, I spent 2 years at Boston University studying international educational development before coming here to the U of I.
And did you get a degree at BU?
Yes, it was a master's degree there.
Master's. So here you're – now, in education, you have various ways you can get a doctorate, but you've chosen the PhD.
Mm-hmm.
What does that enable you to do that a doctorate in education, an EdD, doesn't?
I think the difference between an EdD and a PhD is sort of the difference between a practitioner scholar and a scholar scholar, someone who's focused on academic pursuits in and of themselves, as opposed to someone who is primarily a practitioner but also a scholar.
Okay.
And I'm sort of the academic type. I'm perhaps not quite so ivory tower as some people might be, but I do have a strong interest in the real world and in making a difference in the real world, but I hope to do that from the base of the university.
Now, growing up in Dallas, did you go to public schools, private schools? What did you have before college?
I went to public school. I think I had 1 year of private preschool before entering kindergarten at the public school, which was just one street over. And then went through public school for, you know, the 13 years before going to Wheaton College.
And for you to choose to be in the field of education, were there some teachers that you had who really made a difference in your life?
I do. Well, there were a number of teachers that marked me, but I do remember my ninth grade U.S. history and geography teacher. I had him for two classes, Donald Tarrant. Made a big difference in my life, in my thinking about education, because his tagline was always, he's trying to get us to think. So he'd always say, I'm just trying to get you to think. And he really cared about his students, and he cared about making sure that they were thoughtful people through the avenues of history and geography.
My wife and I have two children, and one of them is a teacher. She teaches first grade in the South, in Georgia, in Savannah. I was talking to her on the phone today, and she was saying that her first grade students just did very well on their sort of halfway through the first year of testing and evaluation, and she was so proud of them. And I know that's a great feeling that teachers get when they have an effect on students. In her case, these are six-year-olds. But here you are in graduate school and still remembering someone in the ninth grade who you can remember what they challenged you to be doing, in your case, some critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When did you have a religious family that you grew up in?
Yes. My parents went to and still go to a Baptist church in Richardson, Texas, First Baptist Church of Richardson. And so I grew up attending church, you know, a couple of times a week for Sunday morning services and choir practice.
Only
and
a couple actor. In a
well,
Baptist church?
You know, I guess we were restrained. It seemed like I was there quite a bit, but I guess it was only 2 days a week.
I was raised in a Baptist church, and I think we were there four times a week.
Oh, wow.
Of course, this was a few years before your time. Things may have changed.
Yeah.
Now, you went to Wheaton College, which is a evangelical Christian-related school, and then went to Boston, BU, and now here at the University of Illinois. What differences do you notice between a very secular state university and Wheaton?
Well, interestingly, I feel like there are perhaps more similarities between the University of Illinois and Wheaton College than there are between Wheaton College and Boston University, say, because of the subcultural context. I found moving to Boston a little challenging for a number of different reasons. But one of them was that I felt like there were Christians around, but it was kind of difficult to find them sometimes. Whereas when I came to the University of Illinois, I was struck almost immediately by just sitting in the student union and I'll overhear Christian conversations at people passing by or in other tables. And that almost never happened in Boston.
Now, the University of Illinois, of course, is very multicultural, and that's true in the religious sense as well as other cultural senses. But you're also likely in the student union to hear Muslims, Hindus, agnostics, atheists talking as well. And I take it that this forum, the Veritas Forum, is a way to sort of formalize that. So it's not so much you're eavesdropping, but you can join in the conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On February 12th at 7:30 in Lincoln Hall will be the Veritas Forum with four different speakers, a Roman Catholic, an evangelical Christian, a Muslim, someone who's not formally religious at all. Perhaps he would describe himself as an agnostic. That's set up open to the public. Those of you who have not been in the newly renovated Lincoln Hall yet, this is a great opportunity to do that. It's a free program at 7:30 on Tuesday, February 12th, the Veritas Forum, talking about God and I. Now, who's going to moderate this this wild group?
That'll be Janine Giordano Drake, who is a nearly completed PhD student in history. She studies Christian socialists in the early 20th century in the United States.
Actually, she defended in December.
Oh, she's finished.
Yes.
Ah, very good. Congratulations. A moderator's job is interesting. Will she present questions, or have you asked each of these people to make an opening statement on this theme? How has this been organized?
Each presenter will have 10 minutes to talk about their faith or worldview and then how it relates to their academic life. And then Janine will have a moderated discussion, conversation, trying to talk about how faith issues and worldview issues can be brought into the academic setting in a way that honors all people but allows people to be who they truly are themselves. And then we'll field questions from the audience, although those two will be texted in so we can organize them and get the best questions and the most pressing questions.
So people should bring their cell phones.
Yeah.
Is there anyone on a university campus these days that doesn't have at least one?
I don't know anyone.
With them at all times? Let me give the phone numbers here for listeners who want to use their cell phones or landline phones to join this conversation. We're eager always to have listeners call in with comments or questions. In Champaign-Urbana, 217-333-9455. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. Let me take just a moment and mention a couple other things that are coming up on University of Illinois campus this week. This coming Friday, February 8th, at the University YMCA, Mary Ellen Lacey will be speaking as part of the Friday Forum at the Y. And it's part of the Faith in Action series. Mary Ellen Lacey is a Catholic sister, and she'll be talking about their mission to stand with people for economic justice. She's one of the nuns on the bus. If you've been reading the news, watching the news, perhaps you've heard of this very interesting group of Catholic sisters. So representing them will be this Friday at noon at the University YMCA on the corner of Wright Street and Chalmers. That's a free program at noon at the Y. You can order lunch if you call 337-1500. Or you can just show up and get lunch, or you can bring your own, or simply listen to the program. Also this week, there's another forum starting on February 5th at the St. Andrews Lutheran Campus Center. And Wayne Pitard, who has been a guest on this Keeping the Faith program in the past, Dr. Pitard is a director of the Spurlock Museum and professor of religion here at the University of Illinois. He'll be talking about biblical archaeology. That's this February 5th at 7 p.m. at the St. Andrews Lutheran Campus Center, which is at 909 South Wright, actually that same corner of, as the University Y, just on the other side of the street. Those are two programs coming up this week, and then we've been announcing our two guests today are part of the planning group planning the February 12th forum, the Veritas Forum, which is Latin for?
Truth.
Truth. That'll be February 12th at Lincoln Hall Auditorium at 7:30, also a free program that's on a Tuesday. I see we have a caller, and I'm going to wait, ask that caller to be a little patient while we hear an announcement about a focus program coming up tomorrow.
Is an apple or an orange the best source of vitamin C? Is there anything sugar-free that isn't loaded with fat or anything fat-free that isn't loaded with sugar? And when they say something's part of a complete breakfast, wouldn't the breakfast still be complete without it? I'm Craig Cohen. We'll welcome your questions about nutrition on Monday's Focus. Our guest, David Grotto, a registered dietitian and nutritionist and the author of the book, The Best Things You Can Eat. Join the conversation on Focus Monday morning at 10 on WILL AM 580.
So there are several different conversations you can join here on WILL. And today on Keeping the Faith, our guests are Reverend Tim Bossenbrook, pastor of Hess Park Christian Reformed Church, and Michael Culbertson, a graduate student in education. We have a caller now on line number one. Let's go to that call. Go right ahead.
I have a question about this forum. Is this something peculiar to the University of Illinois? Did it begin here, or is it something wider? And what might have been other topics that you've done here at Illinois?
It is much bigger than here at the University of Illinois. In fact, it started in the early 90s at Harvard. I think Kelly Monroe, a Harvard law student, organized the first Veritas Forum and brought Harvard professors together to talk about their faith. And she turned it into an international organization. And so there are local chapters of Veritas Forum chapters in universities all across the United States and even internationally. So you can actually visit the Veritas Forum website online to see they have an archive of talks that they have produced, everything from science and religion to ethics, et cetera, arts and aesthetics and so on. We have had, this is our fourth forum, and our first forum, we brought Nicholas Walterstorff from Yale Divinity School, and he spoke on justice. And our second forum, we had Rosalind Picard from MIT, and she works in affective computing. She basically programs computers and robots to recognize and simulate human emotions. And a lot of her work is used to help people with autism. You have to read more about her work. I won't go into that, but it's very fascinating. But she's also a committed Christian and spoke about being a Christian in the sciences. So that was very interesting. And then last year, our forum was with Dr. Peter Kraft from Boston College. And that was an interfaith dialogue with Dr. Zeki Saratoprak from, it's escaping me, Cleveland. What's the university in Cleveland?
Wayne State?
No. Anyway, it'll come to me later. Anyway, he's a Muslim scholar, and so it was an interfaith dialogue between the two. And the basic question was, what can you learn from the other? So what can Christians learn from Muslims, and what can Muslims learn from Christians?
Okay, thank you. This is fascinating.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Have you heard any of these previous forums, Michael?
I've heard several of them. In fact, we've screened several of them here at the University of Illinois. Last fall, we had three screenings in which we got a group of students together into a classroom and showed projected on the screen several of these fora.
Had continuing influence after the first time.
Yes.
Which we can do so easily now electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So this will be part of the national website or just locally?
Oh no, we'll film it, and it will be on the website for an archive there for who knows how long.
And so, give us that address if you would.
I think it's www.veritas.org.
I thought it was Veritas Forum, but we'll check that. But at any rate, people can search for it and find it easily with a search engine, Veritas Forum. When this happens on February 12th, what kind of a crowd do you expect, and what will characterize them? Will there be mainly Christians who are involved because that's who's sponsoring it, or will each of the panelists sort of bring their own fans along, or what's been your experience in the past?
Well, I think we hope that we'll have a crowd that's representative of the many different faiths that we have here at the University of Illinois. Historically, at our past forum experiences, the crowd has had a large proportion of Christians, mainly because I think, as you suspect, that it's Christian organizations that have been sponsoring it. But I think last spring, when we had the dialogue between Kraft and
Sir Toprak.
Thank you. I can never get his name quite right. We had a large number of Muslim students as well, and it was very encouraging to see the diversity grow in the audience.
When you have these planning meetings, what organizations are represented? Who all is working together to do this locally at the University of Illinois?
On the planning team, we have representatives from the Newman Center, the Graduate Christian Fellowship, that's an intervarsity group, Illini Life, and Hessel Park Church.
How did that group first come together?
The regional director of Veritas Forum contacted someone from the Evangelical Christian Union, a gathering of the evangelical groups on campus. And so she presented at our meeting, and many people seemed interested in hosting a forum here. I was looking to find ways to become more involved on campus, and so I volunteered to put a team together and head that team up, and that's how it began.
Let me give the phone numbers again for folks who'd like to join this conversation, ask a question like we've just heard. 333-9455 is the local number. This is, of course, WILL AM 580. We're heard simultaneously at FM 90.9 HD3 if you have one of these nice HD radios. And, of course, also online at will.illinois.edu/AM. Other people listen as they travel or far away various ways. You can do it on a public radio app on many devices. And, of course, these programs are archived. And so within a week or so, if you can hear this program, if you missed part of it, perhaps you're listening online and we're happy to do that live, but you can also do it, of course, at your convenience. That's a wonder of podcasts that we have today. If you're listening long distance, it's 1-800-222-9455. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host, and I'd like to take just a minute to thank Professor Danny Otto from Eastern Illinois University, who filled in for the last 3 weeks when I was traveling. My wife and I had a good time away from the cold of central Illinois, but we are also glad to be back. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, Lynn Warfel will be our guest. He's the author of a new book of poetry called Song of the Prairie. Lynn is the president of the Champaign County Farm Bureau. He's a farmer in Tolono, Illinois, but also a quite sensitive observer and writer of the farming life. And so February 10, 2013, here on Keeping the Faith, he'll be our guest. That's Lynn Warfel, W-A-R-F-E-L. His book of poetry, Song of the Prairie, can be purchased at the News Gazette in Champaign. On February 17, Rebecca Ginsburg will be our guest. She is the director of the Education Justice Project, and that should be a fascinating show, February 17. February 24, I'd like to thank Professor Don Nolan for recording an interview with the Orthodox Christian Bishop Demetrius, who was here visiting the community. And he recorded a very fascinating program on restrictions that are currently on the Orthodox Patriarch by the Turkish government. So that'll be a program that you will not be able to call in and ask a question about, but it's a very interesting interview that Professor Nolan from Parkland had with the Orthodox bishop. That'll be broadcast here on February 24th on Keeping the Faith. Those are some of the things coming up in the weeks ahead. Well, getting back to our guest here in the studio today, we're talking about the Veritas Forum, and we have mentioned that that's Tuesday, February 12th, 7:30, Lincoln Hall Auditorium, with a panel of four folks with different religious and philosophical traditions talking about God and I. And it's all under this heading of Veritas, truth. So, is truth singular? Is truth plural? Is there only one truth? How can religions or philosophies learn from one another? Is there any absolute standard? What do you two think?
Well,
small question.
Yeah, I know. Personally, I'm a critical realist. That means that I follow a realist ontology. That means I believe that there is a real world out there, and we can make statements that are either characteristic or not characteristic of that real world. But I'm not a pure realist because I have a constructionist epistemology, which means that I believe the only way that we can know about the real world is through our senses and through our construction of meaning with one another. And so in some sense, our knowledge of the real world is fallible. So while there may be a singular truth, it's sometimes difficult to know whether we've grasped it or not. I don't know, Tim, if so you have similar ideas.
So that implies a certain modesty.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. But also not a throwing up your hands saying we can't know anything for sure at all.
Yes.
You think you know something sort of for sure.
Trying to get there, you know,
that's
incrementally.
That's a layperson's response to some heavy philosophy.
Yeah. But pretty good summary.
First, in the interest of truth, I should say that I failed to mention a couple people who are also on our committee. I'm terrible at remembering lists. So we have people from the student organization called Deeper Roots, which is connected with University Bible Fellowship. And also someone from the Illini Christian faculty and staff. But one thing we find important at Veritas, because truth is objective, but we are fallible, it's important to recognize that people have different perspectives on that truth. And so we, as a committee, we try to get, and we are an evangelical organization, so we have representatives from different evangelical churches and the Catholic Church. But that's also why we want to have interfaith dialogues, too, because we recognize that different people have different perspectives on truth, and all can contribute to a greater mutual understanding of what that truth is.
And when you are having a conversation with Muslims and atheists, agnostics, Roman Catholics, do your evangelical representatives sort of acknowledge their starting places, their commitments that they believe, what they believe is true? How does someone who follows the Bible talk to someone who considers the Quran infallible? How do those two people talk about that?
Well, I can't speak for my evangelical counterparts,
sure.
So I don't know how they approach the issue.
I think, for my part, I haven't engaged in a great many interfaith dialogues, but the Veritas Forum that we had last spring was an excellent opportunity to practice, because after the talks, we broke into small student groups, interfaith groups, that had an interfaith discussion. And I find that one way to approach the conversation is to ask questions and to listen. One doesn't have to commit to agreeing to everything that the other person says, but the first place to have a conversation is to listen.
We have had help from Kyle Kroah, our good technical director, and she's used her computer and verified that you're exactly right, Tim. It's veritas.org is the national homepage where people can get more information. Let's talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, back to your question about, you know, how do I as a Christian engage someone from another faith who holds to a different standard of what is truth? Well, I think, as I said before, Muslims and people of Hindu traditions or whatever faith you might have, they're taking truth from this world that we believe that the God we believe in created. So I think we're able to see that they have access to truth. And
that you can learn from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a Christian, our commitment is to the Christian scriptures as the ultimate standard. But even those are very hard to understand, and people have been debating what they exactly mean for years and years. So it behooves us to listen to others' view on truth as well.
I can provide a brief example of how I've received a message of truth from another faith. I think last year when we were talking between Christians and Muslims, I learned that I heard personal testimonies of the Muslim emphasis on submission. Islam, as I understand it, means submission. And in Muslim spirituality or the practice of Islam, there's a lot of focus on submitting to God and submitting to God in prayer and so forth. And so I hear them say that one aspect of true spirituality from their perspective is submission. And I then ask myself the question, well, how does that compare with what I read in the Bible? And I see that there are aspects of submission in the Bible that, as Tim says, is what I would hold as the ultimate authority. And so I can hear through my Muslim friends that I should be submitting to God, and I can compare that with what I read in the Bible, and I can see that I should be submitting to God. And so through my Muslim friends, I've learned more about how I should relate to God.
Tim, earlier we learned about Michael Culbertson's background. Share with our listeners a bit of your past. How long have you been here as pastor at Hessel Park Church?
I've been here 11 years.
Where were you before that?
Right before that, we were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I was attending Calvin Theological Seminary. Before that, my wife and I worked for the Christian Reform World Relief Committee, which is a community development organization. We worked for 2 years in the Dominican Republic.
And your undergraduate studies?
I did. I have a bachelor's in international affairs from Calvin College and a master's in Latin American studies from Ohio University.
Where did you grow up?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
And was your family background religious?
Yeah. Christian? Both my parents were born and raised in the Christian Reformed Church, which Hessel Park is a Christian Reformed Church. And we attended a Christian Reformed Church in Columbus.
And tell us a little bit about that denomination, its distinctive characteristics, a little bit of its history maybe.
Well, we're an immigrant church, Dutch. I often say the Presbyterians are Reformed from England and Scotland, and the Christian Reform are Reformed from the Netherlands. So it began in the mid-19th century when the Dutch immigrated to the United States. And so you'll find pockets of Christian Reformed churches wherever the Dutch settled, western Michigan, areas of Iowa, Wisconsin, and so forth.
And I understand from local Champaign County history, when the early settlers came here and needed to figure out how to drain the swamps, they got expertise from the Dutch, who knew how to deal with canals and water. And
I did not know that. Yeah, that's interesting.
A little bit of a little bit of local history. Tell us about these four people who are going to be leading this panel on February 12th in Lincoln Hall, 7:30.
Well, Paula Carnes is an associate professor at the University Library, where she's the head of Literatures and Languages Library and a specialist in European and Latin American literature. She also holds an appointment in the program in Medieval Studies. And she's a member of St. John's Catholic Chapel at the university here.
And that's associated with the Newman Foundation.
Yes. Yeah. Irfan Ahmad is the director of the Center for Nanoscale Science and Technology, and he also has a research position in the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering. He's also the board of directors for the Avicenna Community Health Center, which provides high-quality and culturally competent preventative and curative health care services to uninsured residents in Champaign County. It started as with a group of local Muslims, but it's turned into an interfaith community and partnership.
And I might just mention that Irfan Ahmad, Professor Ahmad, has been a guest on this program more than once. And the last time was talking about that health center.
Yes, but he's also a former president of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center and is currently the outreach coordinator for the mosque. So we're excited to have him on board our list of panelists. Gary Eden is the director for the Laboratory of Optical Physics and Engineering. He's also... looking at my notes here, one of the co-founders of Eden Park Illumination and EP Purification, two startup companies that produce dynamic lighting technology, specializing in lighting research, product development, and commercialization of the microplasm technology. I don't know, Michael, if you want to talk about Nicholas Berbalis a little bit.
Since you've had him for a course.
Sure, yeah. He is a professor in the Department of Educational Policy, Organization, and Leadership. He studies educational philosophy. And he's particularly interested in teaching through dialogue, which I experienced in his course. We had course readings that we prepared in advance, and then I wouldn't say he quizzed us, but he engaged us in a dialogue about the topics that we read. He also is the director of the Ubiquitous Learning Institute, which is dedicated to the study of new models of anywhere, anytime teaching and learning. This is particularly important given the proliferation of mobile technologies and the pervasive wireless connectivity of our new technological age.
So all of these four will be at the Veritas Forum at Lincoln Hall Auditorium, February 12 at 7:30. That's a week from next Tuesday. When you've had these forums in the past, Tim, how do you know if they've been successful? How do you judge them? How do you evaluate them?
That is a very good question. You tend to judge it based on how many people turn out, but that's kind of not a very good mechanism because they turn up and then you don't know what effect the event has had. So we do an evaluation. We ask people to submit emails to sign up with their email, and then we send them a survey, and then they can take an online survey. If we can get them thinking and talking about those things, then I think we've reached our goal.
How long will the forum last? It starts at 7:30. What's been your experience?
Our forums usually last about an hour and a half. I think this one might go a little bit longer with four presenters. I'd say an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, somewhere in there.
With a reception to follow.
Okay. Will there be food?
Yes.
When you have gone on to the national site and What has piqued your interest? Where have you gone to listen to some of these archived forums that have happened all over the country, indeed all over the world? What are some of the things you remember that you've found on the national website?
There's a range of things. I know some of the more popular ones are some of the sort of apologetic type talks, where you have someone who's very well versed in Christian theology as well as something like postmodernism or modernism and the challenges of new atheists and so on. And then they will, you know, lay out reasons for the Christian faith and so on. Some of the ones I found more engaging are dealing with faith and science. There are some really good ones on aesthetics and the Christian faith as well. Jeremy Begbie is one of my favorites.
So. Now, apologetics is sort of a technical term within the field of religion. Tell our listeners who may not know how you're using that word.
Well, an apology is basically a defense of something. So it's defending the Christian faith against, you know, secular attacks or what have you.
So you're not apologizing for it or saying we're sorry we did such and such. You're defending the perspective.
Right.
Okay. And Michael, in your graduate education here, have you had professors whose personal philosophies or personal faith traditions have been obvious in their teaching and the way they ran their classrooms or graduate classrooms? Has that been a positive thing for you, or has that sometimes been a problem?
Well, it's an interesting question. I know that in other areas of social science, there are some departments or professors who can take a very strong position on their views about religion or spirituality, but it has been my experience that most of my classes here have been rather neutral on the subject. I've taken a lot of statistics, and in the statistics, in the coursework at least, we've been focused primarily on the methods and the results and not so much on the philosophies behind it.
But in educational policy?
Well, in educational policy, it might be different, but I haven't really taken many educational policy courses here. The one that I have taken was the one with Dr. Brubelis, and he was open with the fact that he was previously religious, or maybe not quite so previously as you suggest, but he's had a shift at least.
Okay. When professors sort of try to be neutral, they can always be accused of sort of not being. And on the other hand, if they say, well, I'm a Muslim and this is my perspective, but of course I'll respect other perspectives on this, or this is my philosophical position, I'm a complete relativist or whatever, there seems to be problems both ways. And Tim, you've had your experience with that, I know.
Well, one of the things I find in our society today is that both, at least, well, not both, but some Christians and some, we'll call them atheists, they both tend to feel oppressed. So take a look at the presidential inauguration. We're a nation that separates church and state, but at the inauguration, Christianity was all over the place, prayers and God bless America and so on.
And a Bible to swear on.
Yes. And so I can see an atheist feeling sort of oppressed by that.
Sure. This is inappropriate.
Right. But on the other hand, Christians, especially particularly in the academy, secularism is the default.
It's sort of the accepted norm.
Right. And so you are supposed to leave your faith out at the door. It's a personal issue and not a public issue. But when both sides are feeling like they're oppressed, I don't think that's a very helpful situation. So our aim is to try and create the space in which people can just be honest and respectful and not feel like they have to leave a major aspect of who they are, maybe even the crowning chief aspect of who they are when they enter into the public sphere.
We're down to our last 5 minutes or so here on Keeping the Faith. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, do call 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana. If it's long distance, 800-222-9455.
Yeah, before we leave, I wanted to say that this is not just a one-time event, but there are also other events happening the week following the God and I Veritas Forum. And these are sponsored by evangelical organizations later on in the week. So on Friday, February 15, InterVarsity will be hosting an event called Integrating Christian Faith in Academics. And they, too, will have a panel of U of I faculty, Scott Althaus in political science, Tito Carrillo in jazz trumpet, Kevin Jackson in accounting, Paul McNamara in agricultural and consumer economics, and Kimberly Simpson in the nursing program.
And what time will that Friday, February 15 program be?
That'll be at 7:30, and where? That's at the Loft, which is InterVarsity's office space. That's 605 East Green Street, right above Jimmy John's. And so these are all evangelical faculty talking about how they live out their faith in academia. And then on Wednesday, February 20, iLife will be hosting a U of I alum, Kevin Hector, who now teaches at the University of Chicago in theology and philosophy of religion. And that event is called the Theology and Faith in a Public University. And that'll be Wednesday, February 20 at 7:30. And that'll be in Lincoln Hall, room 1002. And third, our third and final event will be hosted by Campus Crusade for Christ. Faith and Academia, two professors share their experience. And so they'll be interviewing Sua Myung, who is in bioengineering, and Mark Peacher from accounting. That'll be Thursday, February 21 at 8 o'clock in the ARC, room 6.
Let me repeat those times and places. The Campus Crusade for Christ follow-up to the forum will be Thursday, February 21st at the ARC. Wednesday the 20th, iLife at 7:30 in Lincoln Hall, room 1002. And InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Friday, February 15th. In the Loft on Green Street at 7:30, Friday, February 15. All of those are follow-ups to the Central Forum, which will be February 12th at 7:30, Lincoln Hall Auditorium. That's a week from Tuesday.
While we're plugging things,
yes.
I might mention that you're in a couple of weeks, you mentioned you're having someone from the Educational Justice Project here on the program, and I have a couple of colleagues who are working on an evaluation of that project, and I've heard some of their stories, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
Tell our listeners more about Rebecca Ginsburg's program.
Yes, it's a program in the Danville Correctional Facility, 45 minutes away, and in this correctional facility, they are providing courses, college-level courses, for the incarcerated men there so that people who are in this facility can take courses from university professors and earn credit. I believe they can even earn credit toward a degree program when they are released.
And that'll be an interview we're having here on Keeping the Faith, February 17, about the Education Justice Project. And the director, Rebecca Ginsburg, will be our guest here in the studio. And that work in that prison is just remarkable, and it should be a fascinating program. Well, we are at the end of our time. Let me thank our guests, Pastor Tim Bossenbroek, who's been at the Hessel Park Christian Church for Lothi's many 11 years, and Michael Culbertson, a grad student who's been a shorter time here at the University of Illinois after studying before at Boston University and Wheaton College, both on the planning committee for the Veritas Forum, God and I. I mentioned two other forums that are coming up this week. The Veritas Forum is February 12th at 7:30. Coming up this week, on February 5th at 7 p.m., is the Reticus Forum, and Professor Wayne Pichard, who's director of the Spurlock Museum and professor of religion at the University of Illinois, will be talking about biblical archaeology. That's February 5th at 7 p.m. at the St. Andrews Lutheran Campus Center. That's located at Wright Street and Chalmers on campus. And again, that's February 5th at 7 p.m. The next part of that forum will be April 9th, Faith and Science in the Muslim Tradition. And again, Irfan Ahmad, professor of nanoscale science, will be giving that lecture at the Lutheran Campus Center. Also this week, on Friday, at the University YMCA, Mary Ellen Lacey will be the guest. She's one of those nuns on the bus who's very much concerned about social issues from a Catholic perspective, one of the Catholic sisters whose mission is to stand with people for economic justice. That's Friday noon at the University YMCA, 1001 South Wright Street, right across from Lincoln Hall and right across from the Lutheran St. Andrews Lutheran Campus Center. February 15 at the Y, as part of the Faith in Action program there at the Y for Friday Forum this semester, Alia Bilal will be speaking, Fighting for Justice in Marginalized Chicago Neighborhoods, on behalf of the Inner City Muslim Action Network. So Islam will be represented on the February 15 Friday Forum at the University Y. If you wish to attend either of those, if you want a lunch, call 337-1500 for some of that good Thai food. And if you want to just take a lunch, you may, or you may just go and listen to the forum. That's at the University Y this Friday and the following Friday. I'm Steve Shoemaker. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Before his death last spring, Maurice Sendak created one final project, My Brother's Book.
I really feel that it's a book that he intended for those of us who grew up reading Maurice and who loved his work. It's a kind of a farewell for us.
Playwright Tony Kushner on Maurice Sendak's luminous goodbye on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings at 5 on AM 580 and at 6 on FM 90.9.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580. This is Illinois Public Media, WIL.